I said, go to a hospital, see how nurses treat equipment. They want to attend to a patient or a surgeon about to operate. See how he handles his equipment. See how he handles it. Because this is the instrument for curing people, it must be pure. As a preacher, therefore, we should ensure it is pure, spotless, not disturbed with my personal opinions or my personal needs. You know what I'm talking about? When it says, fight the good fight of faith. That is a fight that will preserve the word of God in our lives, unpolluted, undiluted. Because you see, that's the source of everything. You want to live long, the doctor can't give you long life. He can't. There is nobody that can guarantee you prosperity. I've seen men rejoice. My man is now in power. 6 weeks later, they sack my man. You understand my point? That's the way it is. What I'm saying is that, listen, the only security we have for life is the word of God. Therefore, we should keep it pure. And Paul said, fight for it. He said, fight the good fight of faith. You know, I said to us before, starting from Genesis, that when Satan came into the garden, did you notice? And they say, Eve, where's your husband? He said, Madam Eve, good afternoon, ma. Anything happen? What's happening? Please, I have a question for you, please. I'm in a hurry. I won't take your time. Did God really say, did you see it? it is the word of God. Forget the attitude of your husband. It's the word of God. Forget the economic realities. It is the word of God. Did God really say? He said yes. He said this. He said, it's not like that. You have to be wise. The economy is difficult. Life is hard. You have to be wise. You will not surely die. Don't worry about it. You will not surely die. And listen, once Eve doubted the word of God, she was able to disobey it. Listen, people fall for temptation when attention is removed from the word. They can't sin against God until they doubt what he said. Did God really say? I think so. Did he really say? Are you sure? Let me explain the truth to you. God doesn't know what he's saying. The word of God is not correct. Listen, let me just let you. Once the person starts imbibing that truth, that's it, is open to all forms of temptations. That's why Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. That is, all you are supposed to do is fight to defend the integrity of that word in your own life. That's the believer's work. Why is it a fight? You know why he said fight? Because it's a fight. Because it's a struggle. Because every day, you know, last time I said to you something. I'm talking about the law of focus. Now what I found out is that, see, if somebody asked me and he said that, what is your greatest problem in life as a believer, as a preacher? I say, is the ability to focus. That is to fight the distractions, you know, that take your eye away from the main thing that you're supposed to be doing. Now, listen to this. How would those distractions come? It's simple. It still remains three basic things. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, for you to accept, for example, that, you know, Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, wherewith shall we be clothed. After these things, the Gentiles seek. But you seek first the kingdom of God. He said, your heavenly Father knows you know these things, or you need these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to you. That word is simple, it's straightforward. Now, when you are a student and your parents give you some money, it's a simple and straightforward word. You don't have to make any decision more than read and pass. But a time comes in which you have to make choices, and then that word starts speaking to you. What I'm saying is this. If you believe it totally, there are choices you will make. The degree to which you adhere to the will of God in your life is the degree to which you believe that word has spoken. I don't know what I hear what I said. Now, these people said, look, you know, I've realized something. I thought about it recently. In fact, it has changed some things that I pray about. I realized that God does not strive with man. What I mean is that if you don't want, he won't fight. Some, listen to that, our series, profiting from the word of God or profiting by the word of God. There's 30-fold profit, there's 60-fold profit, and there is 100-fold profit. The only difference, trust me, is the degree with which each person adhered to that word. Those who believed it totally, completely, under every circumstance, are the ones that get a 100-fold return. Some can accept the word under certain circumstances. So in those situations, they get the fruit. In the other situations in which they reject it, the fruit doesn't come, so they get 60-fold reward or result. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? All right? What am I bringing out? I'm saying that when I was playing then, so you see that I said the problem I had, or I have, which I have to contend with every day, is to focus. Why will I not be focused? Why will you not be focused? It's simple. It's because of the other distractions in life which are actually manifestations of the degree of disobedience to reveal truth. I gave an example before. Let me explain this again. When a colleague of mine said that, now that I have settled in this area, now I can face ministry. Now, we are both in academics. Do you understand? And he said, now that I am a professor, I can now settle down and face ministry. And I remember I thought to myself, if I say that, my wife will be a widow. I'm not joking about it too. I don't mean it like I'm just as long as you're talking. I remember I talked to myself. Eesh. Now, wow. God. You they handle people differently. There are statements I can't make. In this job, he's not much my senior. Maybe like a year or two max. And he said this to me 2 years ago. Are you getting my point? And I remember I was one that he was talking. I said, hi, Pastor B. You talk this kind of thing, a dead man. I was just thinking, that is, I can't even think about it. That guys, Israel, okay? Bishop, you guys, please help me hold Kingdom of Ministry. Are they come? Are they come? I'm going back. I'm going to walk when I become a professor. And I will now come back. Hey! In fact, God will just anoint Bishop and Israel with the anointing I used to have. And there's in yes, Pastor Banky. He was not, because God took him. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. But why would a man want to do that? It is simple. It is simple. You know, you have to, in quote, make it in life, we say. You have to be settled. You have to secure your children's future. You have to ensure that you have a solid financial footing. Those are the things we say. But scripture, there are many scriptures that cover that. For example, he says simply, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Whether you believe it or not, we decide how you spend your money, where you go, the kind of jobs you take, the kind of things you spend your time on. Simple. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight to believe that word. Then the will of God becomes automatic. You know, I tell you, people just like to pray. Father, what is your will? What is your will? God says, if I tell you, you will rebuke me. Yeah, there's no point. Because if you believed the words I've been teaching you, pride of life as an example, if you win yourself with the word of God of the pride of life, there are certain things you will never bother doing. There are degrees you are pursuing. God said, you know, that degree, I'm not doing, you know. If you read this man's book, Jack Welch, straight from the gut, Jack Welch. He was the CEO of General Electric. At the point in time, the world's most capitalized company, all right? He was CEO for about 20 years or so. 20 years thereabout. Okay, 20 years. All right? He said one day he was on a plane. That's my one to talk about. Jack Welch. And somebody came up to me and said, okay, like, Mr. Welch, what would you like? Executive, you know, jet. And then the hostess went up to the guy beside him and said, let's ask him, the guy's name is Washington. I said, Dr. Washington. And he said to himself, wow, that sounds nice. He had the master's. He's an engineer. And they said, Mr. Welch, what would you like? And they talked to the guy beside him, Dr. Washington, what would you like? He said, wow, doctor, doctor. He went back to school to get a PhD. He, very intelligent guy. He worked hard, got his PhD. He tied to, thank you very much. So now when I enter a flight, you know the funny thing? Shortly after, he discovered it meant nothing. It gave him no advancement at work. In fact, after a while, he stopped people from calling him Dr. Welch. He didn't say something funny to him. What kind of title is that? It did not stop him from becoming the CEO, neither did he aid him in becoming the CEO. Listen, there are things you wouldn't waste time on if you just understood the doctrine of the pride of life. He would have understood that that is the pride of life. There are people that are pursuing this because, you know, human beings love vainglory. One day a man came to my office. He said, where I come from, we respect the elders. And the word of God said, you should rise before the aged, bow before the gray-headed. It's there in the Bible. And he happened to be an Igwe. So he entered my office. I mean, everything, age, his human, you know, the regalia. So I got up. And the man took my hand. And for 2 minutes, he was introducing himself. Was shaking my hand, shaking it up and down, shaking it. This is my name. This is my throne. And I'm not kidding. I was the chairman of the state government council of this in 1995. The executive director of federal government committee on this in 1982. No, I'm not joking. It sounds funny. He kept on going on and on and on and on, like 2 minutes, telling me that I was board chairman of this particular company. He went, oh God, the guy spent at least 2 minutes. And I was standing, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. When he had finished, so there is Royal Highness, former this, former that, former this, former this, what can I do for you? He told me what he wanted. I felt like telling him, okay, if the lowliest man of the same age that you are walked into this office, I would do the same thing for him. One is a hospital. I'm a doctor. I'm supposed to help people like you. Two, you're an old man. And this is like 10 years ago. You can imagine 10 years ago, when I was 10 years younger than I am right now. So at my age and his age, I would have done it. Look, so all this, former this, former this, former that, former this, former this, former this, former that, former this, former this, former that. It wasn't necessary. And as a Christian, you don't need it. Now, it sounds simple. Then one day you are going to go to a place and they are going to tell you to sit down there and they are going to tell the former this, former this, former that to go over to the other side. That is where faith has its fight. You know what I've tried to explain? The devil is telling you, the world, because they are agents of the devil, they don't realize it. They are explaining to you that a man's life consists in the abundance of things which he possesses. Has God really said that your title doesn't matter? Watch it. I don't know what I get my point.
Yes, sir.
Has God really said the kind of car you drive does not matter? Watch it. And then you go on for a wedding. And they go, Aye, your motor. Honda Accord. 1982 model. Park on this side. Is it over that at your age? Oh, but no. I been move forward, move forward. The old cars go past here. Now move. Then one guy, younger than you, comes with a Chukuska, Porsche Panamera, $47 million for one. And as it comes, you know, they told you before, inside don't fool. Now they open the door. He said, you're welcome, sir. You're welcome, sir. You're welcome, sir. And is there space inside? Oh, there must be space inside, sir. Come inside. They open it. And then you come out. You know, if you are like me, you will laugh. If you're an average man, you will feel bad. You know what they are saying? Has God really said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the car which he drives? Have you seen it so? No, that's it. It's a challenge to the word of God. The fight of faith is, yes, God said so. And I am not moved by this experience. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. And tell the fellow, in case you do not know, Dodi Alfaid and Princess Diana died inside an S-280. Because all Mercedes-Benzes are also grass. One day we're coming from Lagos. Excuse me. A brand new Land Cruiser was on fire. I told my wife, hey, 40 million, 40 million, 40 million. Just like the man who was chasing the car, my fuel. This was somewhere between Ejebude and Ore. Brand new. They parked the car beside the road. Of course, everybody don't run, come out. And the thing was, not smoke, was burning. You see the flames leaping. I told my wife, that is 40 million naira on fire. I was seeing the notes as they were combusting. I was seeing the notes burning. 40 million. Then I remembered the word of the Lord. All flesh is grass. The grass burns and the flower smokes when the breath of God blows upon it. No matter the experience you have in life, listen, all life's experiences, they are trying to say to you, has God really said? He said, no, I'm not going to marry a man who's settled. Then when you're planning a wedding, you will see the number of things you won't get. Then your friends will tell you, has God really said? Are you getting what I'm saying? Your friends are going to come home one day from the United States and bring cars and bring things. And you said then, the same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. And they are going to say, your father will be amongst, your mother may be amongst, your cousins will say, has God really said the same God is rich unto all that call upon him? How are they asking the question? It's Christmas time, your cousin is there, you are there. And they are looking at the two of you. That is when faith has to be fought for. If such things wouldn't happen, faith wouldn't be a fight. It is a fight because life is going to ask you, has God really said? You are going to have experiences. The question will be, has God really said? And that's one of the problems we have with when we tie rapid results to obeying the word of God. We read from that 1 Timothy chapter 6 that he said, some suppose that godliness is a means of gain. So what happens is that once we tie godliness to gain, we start saying, has God really said? Because when we do the godliness and there is no gain, it becomes, has God really said? But you've heard me enough. I've said, we don't do what is right because of what we are going to get. We do them because they are right. So that's the time you answer questions like, yes, even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. That's the fight of faith. What is the fight? Let me summarize. In fact, let me just end it. What is the fight? The fight is to retain the trust in the word of God, even though life is asking questions by its experiences. Has God really said? A lot of people don't. So Demas at the time looked at Paul. Said, bros, you said this is your gospel will change the world. The world has refused to change. Let me go and fish. Then Paul wrote, even Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present world. He didn't fight for the faith. That's the job of the believer. It is not, listen, you know, I said to you, the devil stealing something is not that thing he wants. He wants you to deny the word. Victory is not, yes, praise God, I told you guys God was going to do it. Look at the house now. It is good. The Lord gives me the kind of big land and complex ranch. I like to live in a ranch kind of setting, you know. If he gave it to me, I would be very happy. But victory actually is whether I get it or not. The day I get to heaven, I'll say, Lord, did I ever deny your word? And he says, no. I said, fine, then we won. Are you getting my point? Did I ever deny you? No, then we won. Listen, they went to the fiery furnace, they were saved. Many went in and were not saved. I hope you get my point. Yes. For some of them, God said, listen, let them burn. And when they got to heaven, they said, God, how did we do? He said, good guy, a good man. In the face of fire, you refuse to deny. And that's all. That was all I created you for. Come home. That is a fight of faith. I hope I've made my point. Yes, Father, we give you thanks. Let's just bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.